If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
Angels don't disobey God, but whenever one is assigned to me, he says, God, are you sure? Well, I got to go with Lambert. He goes to places where devils are, and then I got to fight all day. And he's always in trouble. God says, I love him. I know how he is, and he loves you. You're sitting in here this afternoon struggling with something in your physical life, whether it's cigarettes or maybe you even sneak and take a little hit of marijuana. And God loves you. I pulled up to a gas pump one day, and one of the members of Bethel was at the gas pump, and they were smoking. And when I pulled up, they flipped the cigarette right out of their mouth. And I said, get that thing up. It's gas. Don't blow me up. Smoke that thing. I ain't dying because you got a burst of holiness. Pick that thing up. But that's how we are, because we think God loses his love when you do something wrong. Oh, no, beloved. He loves you in spite of. All God wants to do is love you. All he wants, you've never had anybody in your life that just wants to love you. You know how difficult it is to receive that? You know how difficult it is to think that somebody does not have ulterior motives? You tell me you love me, I'm going to immediately suspect there's something you want. I don't receive that. Not well. Pastor, I love you. Yeah, right. What is it? And here's God. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Right. Right. But he wants to love us. It took me years. It took me over a decade. Over a 10-year search. I was preaching in this pulpit every week and uncertain about God's love. In 2015, I was made aware of God's love for me. And there's some of you in here today that are in the same place I was. Paul tries to summarize it as he concludes the greatest chapter of spiritual freedom in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. It's interesting how he concludes the 7th chapter with bondage, with the fruitlessness of physical struggle. The good that I want to do, I can't do. But I always find myself migrating back to the bad. I want to do what God wants me to do, but I just don't seem to have the ability to sustain it. It comes in spurts, not with a degree of regularity. My prayer life is up and down. I pray today and don't pray for 3 days. Read one chapter today and don't read any more for the rest of the week. What's causing me to succumb to this? So he ends chapter 7 with this cry, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to free me from this? It's with a cry for help, but it's also a cry of hope. I thank my God that he has done so through Christ Jesus. But something's missing. Something is missing in his assessment of chapter 7. Oh, yes, God will do it, but how? He immediately brings you in to the grandeur of chapter 8. There is no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That makes you feel good. There's this cry that comes out of chapter 7. Who's going to help me with this slave mentality to sin? I don't want to do it, but I have the can't help it. I can't help it, Reverend. I can't help it. I can't help it. I need help. And I feel incapable of getting past these bondages that come in my life. Nobody loves me. You can't love me with the mess I'm in. You can't love me. Paul says, let me assure you one thing. If you're in Christ, there's no more condemnation. Don't put yourself down. Stop beating yourself up. Whatever you did, you did. No, I'm not saying you are anesthetized to these particular feelings and emotions, but don't let them beat you down. You fall forward and get up and tell the devil, you tricked me today, but you ain't getting me tomorrow. His love is so powerful, it has no limits. Father, I want my share of the inheritance. I know that you have it, and I'm old enough to make my decision. Give it to me. Here you go, son. I love you enough to let you make a bad choice. Thank you, Papa. Let me get into my car and drive over to Atlantic City and go over to the Trump. I see a fine-looking honey at the bar. She told me she'd go to Bethel, but it's Sunday and she over here at the bar. And of course, she not sure God loves her. She asking me for a drink. Can you get me some Cristal? I tell her, drink up, baby. If it's all night, it's all right. Then we meet some friends, and I'm buying them drinks. I'm a high roller. They comp me with a suite on the 14th floor. They comp him the room, but his money runs out. And the hotel manager says, well, you're going to have to go down and sleep in the basement. You know, I don't have any more money. Okay, wash dishes. No, better yet, hold it. You take the food out, take the garbage out every day, and you go out there where it stinks of refuse. And in the midst of the garbage patrol, something hits him. I'm loved, and I don't have to live like this. I've seen my father love servants with such a passion that I'm willing to go back and just be a servant. He came to himself. This is no way for me to live because I'm loved. He didn't mention my father's rich. I'm loved. I'm going back home. He drags his nasty self out. They repoed the car, so he's hitching a ride back up the AC expressway. He finds some generous Christian who hauls him across the bridge and drops him off at the driveway to his father's mansion. The dogs look and bark, but they're confused. It looks like him, it smells like him, but it don't smell like him because he smells like pigs. But they think he still has that walk. There's some attributes about him that are familiar, and they don't attack him, but they bark because they're uncertain. But Daddy knows him. Daddy says, my boy is back. He sends the message, make a party ready. My boy is home. My love's gonna cover everything he did. Bathe him, put on a purple robe, put a ring on his finger, and put some shoes on his feet. My brothers and sisters, that's what God's love does for us. In spite of what the devil has tricked or deceived you into doing, it is the love of God that will make you come to yourself. And I wanna tell you, you are loved. You are loved beyond you. God loves you in spite of you. Even when you want to hurt yourself, his love won't let you hurt yourself. And Paul said, I put you in that position in chapter 7. When he brings you to chapter 8, he concludes with this thought in verse 29, for whom he, God, did foreknow. Woo. If you watch the order that Paul writes, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestine. So that says predestination comes after foreknowledge. Because he knew I would say yes, he predestined me to say yes. I didn't choose to say yes. The yes was chosen for me. Those that he foreknew. This is not meant to make you think that God is weak. It's to let you know how much he loves you. He chose you out of the billions that would say no. He chose you. And he didn't choose you because you were sophisticated and intelligent and sweet. He chose you because he loved you. You want something so bad it alters your behavior. And God is no exception. He wanted us so badly that he gave his son to die. He did not let his holiness stand in the way. He elected us while we were in sin, full of dirt. He called us. I ordered a printer the other day. They sent it to me. I opened it up. It was damaged. It had dirt on it. It didn't look good at all. I sealed it back up and told the people we're sending it back. God opened you up and saw dirt and said, come on, let me buy you. I got you. Just come on. The devil said, send them back to me. He said, no, you had your chance. You dirtied them up. I'm going to wash them. And he dunked you in the blood. And depending upon the depth of your sin, some of you had to be dunked 3-4 times. I was dunked 137 times. And I'm still getting dunked today. So he said, he did not predestine us without an example. He said he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus might be the firstborn of many brethren. And those that he did predestine, he called. And those that he called, he justified. And those that he justified, he glorified. He says, so in light of what we just heard, what should we say? If God is for us. Now, if you look at the King James, you will notice that the word can and be are italicized. That meant they're put there to perfect the language and to make the grammar complete. But in the Greek syntax, you don't have these words in the Greek. And so what it says, if we were to do it literally, it says, if God be for us, or you can take the be out in if God be. It's if God for us, who against us? So a more accurate translation is, since God is for me, who cares who's against me? Because I'm loved. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him give us everything we need? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. That means nobody can put you in bondage anymore. Don't you ever let anybody put you down anymore. If God is for you, who cares who's against you? He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Why? Because I'm persuaded that ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep him from me.
If you believe God for
message
a miracle,
in its entirety, you know, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1317P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The SPA Women's Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church invites all women to join them for a live simulcast with Priscilla Shira and Worship with Anthony Evans. You'll be inspired and challenged to step into God's plan for your life as Priscilla delivers a powerful message of encouragement and truth from the Word of God. It's all happening Saturday, April 8th, 8:30 a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Registration is $20, which includes lunch and materials. Don't miss the chance to experience Priscilla Shira live. Go to BethelDeliverance.org to register today.